Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Shay Northrup, and this is...
Jonathan Charney.
You took a little bit to say that there, Jonathan. Is everything okay?
I'm not used to being in this seat. It's a little weird.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so we're going to jump in, so to speak. One of the things that I kind of wanted to talk about is, have you seen on CBS, they did a little thing about Sophia the Uncanny Robot? Have you?
Yeah, you mean Sophia the Creepy Robot?
Yeah, no. So basically, Sophia is a robot, and so she is designed to read your expressions with the cameras in her eyes and adjust her own expressions to react and make eye contact. And she is really, really creepy.
By the way, that's very understated.
Yeah, no. Like, if you take a look at this, have you ever seen the derp face meme?
Yes.
All of the facial expressions she makes, like, looks like a derp face to me. Like,
but by the way, every time I hear about these robots, the only thing that occurs to me is all your bases belong to us. I've literally watched too many sci-fi movies. I mean, is she a future Cylon you're going to see here in your nightmares or something?
You know, it's really funny too. The way she talks too. It's really interesting. Like, they asked her they asked her what she's for, and she's like, talking to people is my primary function. Not even like basic. But it is kind of cool, considering that, you know, I haven't seen any robots yet that mimic human facial expressions. Like, there was that one Japanese, like, lifelike robot, but she couldn't make facial expressions. She could just talk to you.
No, the way it spoke was actually pretty amazing, because I know Stephen Hawking's speech box, or whatever you call it, doesn't even remotely sound as fluid. So the technology is definitely getting baked in more, so it actually sounds like a real person instead of like an answering machine.
Right. So, you know, it says, you know, what is it? Sophia's model, her model of it, will be up for sale as early as 2017. Hopefully we won't be seeing too many of these in the public. It kind of creeps me out, and I'm pretty sure it creeps most people out. And, you know, once you see a robot trying to mimic human, all I can think about is just, like, it destroying humanity. Like, imagine what would happen if Tay got into this thing.
See, that's what I was kind of hoping. I want to see something like this combined with a Tay just to see where it goes. I mean, I'm still upset Microsoft let it go, because I think it would have been a great study with of people just seeing how odd or how normal she would have been. And I'm thinking people are going to mess with her, like somebody smiling going, I hate you, or I guarantee some people are going to mess with her. So how much of that, is there some sort of algorithm to figure that out, like happy tones and sad faces type of thing?
Well, and I think, you know, eventually they would have to, you know, if they're going to be programming these things to interact with people, I think eventually they're going to have to definitely keep sarcasm in mind. You know, because like we as people can, you know, determine what sarcasm is. But
the funniest thing is, I think the human condition, people can barely tell sarcasm in text form. How do you tell something who doesn't know what sarcasm is sarcasm?
Well, I think over time it'll learn. It's like a child, right? When you were a kid, you didn't understand what sarcasm was. But over time, you learned about sarcasm and learned how it was. And I mean, I'm sure if you watch...
Actually, I'm naturally sarcastic, believe it or not.
I'm pretty sarcastic myself, but I think part of that has to do with... children's television.
I don't disagree.
Like, not only my father is pretty sarcastic, but I think a lot of my sarcasm comes from like just growing up on crude shows like The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy or whatever.
Wow. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This is the age difference. He was growing up on that, and I was growing up on... let's just skip that part.
Well, I probably watched a lot of the shows you did, too, because I had Boomerang, right? It's all coming back to you.
You're making me feel old here, pal. So what do you think the use case for these things are? Because I'm thinking, was it not Oblivion? It was that one movie with Matt Damon where everything was replaced with a robot. Elysium.
Yeah.
I really legitimately don't understand the use case for it.
Well, I think a lot of it is going to be like teachers, nurses, that kind of thing.
So you're going to have... Now, is this a full robot, a talking head? Because even then, I still don't get why... I don't quite get... What the heck was that? I don't quite get why you would even remotely do that. Like I said, maybe it's just an age thing, or maybe it's a fact I'd rather see a person than some sort of automaton going,
right. I can't
it's
imagine
time to
people.
Take your temperature, you know?
I can't imagine a lot of people being okay with robots teaching their kids. You know, it could also end up being like one of those things. Have you ever read iRobot?
No.
I highly recommend that everybody out there who's listening right now read iRobot. It is amazing.
So a Golden State Media Technology Podcast book recommendation.
iRobot. So iRobot is the reason why we have the laws of robotics.
Isaac Asimov.
Yeah, I can never pronounce his last name. But so he's the reason we have the rules for robotics. And in like the first story that talks about the early primitive robots, it talks about this little... I think it was a little girl who was friends with a robot named Robbie, and she didn't have any like real human friends, but she just hung out with her robot Robbie all day. And like, basically the robot worked as a nanny, so to speak. Like, her parents were still around, but like made sure that the kid didn't get hurt. If she got in danger, it would go and like rescue her from danger. So we could end up seeing stuff like that. You know what
I
mean?
So this is like Richie Rich's robot friend.
Kinda, but hopefully we'll see it in like public use. Maybe not Sophia. That just
they need to name her Irona.
You know, it's funny because like they asked her, you know, to say that she was going to destroy humanity, and she actually did say that. So we'll see.
I don't know. I'm really excited. Really am to see where this goes. I think the technology is pretty neat. This is something Disney's been doing off and on for decades. I mean, not exactly facial recognition, but having lifelike robots and dummies take on human appearances. The Hall of Presidents is generally the most famous one.
Well, not just that, but I mean, as time goes on, we're seeing more and more companies starting to invest in AI technology, especially Microsoft, even Apple, which Apple is, you know, just kind of buying companies and putting them on the sidebar. But it seems like Microsoft is really interested in artificial intelligence. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, Apple particularly, I think what they normally do is they buy the company, they sidebar it, and they're going through to see what they can use.
Right.
Apple's famous for never being on the bleeding edge of anything, but they make everything work. They figure out what the issues are. They let it be baked in for a while, and they implement it better or unique-er, if that's a word, than anybody.
More unique.
And Microsoft, I don't know why Microsoft's banning AI companies. I've never used any of their business or admin tools.
Right.
Because none of the stuff I have ever used that has AI in it has been, all of it's been crappy, honestly. I haven't used anything that's even remotely of like, oh, this is cool.
Well, and we all saw what happened with Tay, and I really want to.
Hashtag free Tay.
I really want to see what they do with the whole Minecraft thing.
So this is kind of a guess. I think on Twitter and some social networks, I think AI is going to be the thing that people use instead of having a social media manager have Facebook open all day or Twitter. I think what's going to happen is somebody's going to go, hey, Microsoft, my computer's having issues. The person, you know, it's going to respond to the basic, what are your issues? You know, kind of do some triage, then send it to the necessary people.
Right.
I think that's going to end up costing people jobs, but I don't necessarily think that's going to be a bad thing because everybody, you know, knows that, you know, when you're upset, you're not exactly the most friendliest person. So maybe if you get a robot, if you're not too mad, maybe it'll help calm you down, do a little bit of triage. By the time you get to the actual person, it'll, you know, you'll be a little calmer.
I doubt it, but it'd probably be better than, like, Microsoft tech support is the worst. I'm not going to say why, but, like, man, like, they're terrible. So maybe a robot will be, I'll be a little bit less likely to yell at a robot than I will be Microsoft tech support.
So for me personally, I don't know about Shay. One of the reasons I'm a geek is I hate calling tech support for a myriad of reasons. One being I'm impatient and tech support is kind of boring. And if I can figure it out myself, and that's what I do. And believe it or not, the first number one rule, and I'll call this GSMC Technology Podcast Computer Tip, is Googling it. Believe it or not, a good portion of your stuff would be Googling it.
Granted, just about to say that.
You have to read between the lines or not, but it's amazing how many people have had similar issues just like you. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to a break, so we'll catch you on the flip side.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back. Now, everybody's favorite internet organization, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, has been blasting Microsoft lately about privacy concerns and a myriad of other things. Now, the EFF has been accused Microsoft of disregarding users' choice and privacy with Windows 10. In a scathing editorial, EFF employee Amal Kaya, I'm really sorry, I know I butchered it, calls on Microsoft to come clean with the user community over a growing number of Windows 10 privacy concerns. I know one thing specifically EFF was yelling at was Microsoft's extremely aggressive, and this is like Windows 90s aggressive upgrade tactics.
Yes.
They would pretty much upgrade. The last couple of times I knew people who computers were being upgraded even without their permission. Now, granted, they could have clicked something, but...
No. There was a final overhaul that, like, forced everyone over to Windows 10. Like, towards the end. I know it's done now, so Microsoft is no longer pushing Windows 10 on people. If you wanted to upgrade to Windows 10, your window was over. But right before they moved, they did do a forced update.
See, this is horrible. And another thing people are complaining about is the telemetry data. Now, according to the EFF, Windows 10 sends an unprecedented amount of user data back to Microsoft. Note that enabling Cortana, their Siri competitor, increases the amount of data passed to Microsoft. Privacy advocates have argued that Windows 10 sends back location, text, voice, touch, input, websites you visit, and other data back to Microsoft. Now, Microsoft has always had, at least I'd say for the last decade or more, some sort of data they send back to you or they send back to home. This, however, is more than ever as far as I understand. While the data is a clear concern, the EFF focuses on Microsoft's confusing link between this data and security patches. Microsoft has tried to explain the lack of choice by saying Windows 10 won't function properly on copies of operating system with the telemetry reporting turned to its lowest level. Which is, by the way, something I did when I first upgraded to Windows 10. I turned off Cortana. I turned off all the talkback features.
Yes.
This bugs me for a couple of reasons. One is originally Cortana slowed down my computer to a halt, and I have an i7, 32 gigs of RAM. And granted, there were other programs in the background, but it slowed down my computer. I don't need something constantly listening to me.
I never had a problem with Cortana.
I
can't get her to do anything.
She's more useless than Siri. At least if you say, hey Siri, text mom, Siri does it.
You know, like,
by
I
the
hear
way,
that,
sorry about that.
I hear that if you use Cortana on your Xbox, you're fine. I haven't been able to do anything with it on my computer. Like, it always just tells me, because I've tried playing with it. I've got my headset, and I tried to talk with Cortana.
But Cortana's already...
And it didn't do anything.
But Microsoft's Xbox already kind of did that when you said, Xbox off, Xbox on, Xbox search. Sorry about that again. And it's already had that built in. Cortana allegedly is a little smarter, but I haven't noticed
it. I think you could honestly also program it to, like, press buttons for you. Like, one of my buddies had, like, a broken, like, button on his controller, which threw grenades an army of two. This was, like, back when the Kinect was still new.
Okay.
And he
so
would
this
go,
is the 360.
Xbox, throw grenade. And it would throw the grenade for him. I don't know. That's just a whole nother level of laziness. But
you know, if you want to go on the side tangent of the Kinect, which has always been kind of a privacy concern, because granted, you've got two cameras pointed at the couch.
Yeah, just put duct tape over them.
Like Mark Zuckerberg does on his laptop.
I don't blame him.
I don't know. The Kinect is kind of a useless peripheral. I know on one of the Splinter Cell games I played, I remember... Like how noisy you were in the room or something was allegedly supposed to do something. Or if you said, hey, over here, it was supposed to get the NPC's attention.
Right.
I always thought the Kinect was kind of useless. I mean, I have one because I was forced to buy it. I think it's kind of a neat peripheral. But it kind of seems like Nintendo's power pad. Cool, but utterly useless for unless you want to play one or two games.
Right. No. Well, it was kind of cool when it first came out. And it was cool for kids. But definitely not something we need. The voice stuff was cool, though.
Yeah, I don't know how much it worked, though. I mean, there was that one Rome game that it worked on, but it was really annoying.
Which Rome game? Is that Rome, like Son of Rome or whatever?
Yeah.
Rise, Son of Rome?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like Windows upgrading somebody's computer without the permission. I mean, they're giving one woman $10,000 over an automatic Windows update installation. That's... I'm sorry, Microsoft. You do not get permission to spy on me. You don't get permission to watch me. And you should not have permission to make something permanently turned on without my permission. Now, granted, maybe my mom, dad, older relatives, that's fine. But me, I kind of have a tinfoil hat a little bit, and I don't want things to come back to you. The other question is, since I live in a rural community, I know a lot of people who are on like 40 gigs a month bandwidth caps. How much data does that actually use sending information back?
That's a good question.
The updates will kill you on some of their caps.
Maybe Microsoft is in cahoots with Xfinity and they're not going to let you know that that's something they're doing. Like, you know, like they're not going to add that on your bill. Like, because we all know Comcast is the devil. I've said it in previous episodes. I'll say it again.
I don't disagree, but I'm not saying it because right now I'm enjoying my 100 megabits down, which for my community is the fastest you'll ever get.
Yeah.
Shoot, I know people who are on 14.4, so I'm happy.
Well, and so we mentioned on a previous episode, episode 25, I believe, that you don't really need a webcam. And, you know, this is kind of one of the reasons why I don't have a webcam.
Somebody's spying on you. What was it? I know one of the funnier things, and I know this show is basically going to be one giant tangent. There was a guy who had his laptop stolen. There's software you can install on your laptops and computers and such things that, when activated, will let you spy on the computer. Now, what this does is say if somebody steals it, you can track the using location data. You can text them. Now, this person was watching what the people were doing, was able to remotely log into the computer, was able to get all the information they put on it, and eventually told the cops exactly where it is. Hmm. Matter of fact, I think this was on a TED Talk.
Interesting.
But yeah, I generally, I don't know, I have a webcam. I don't use it only for very certain circumstances. But yeah, all this data really worries me about being sent. Now, this is less of a privacy concern and more of a bandwidth concern. Microsoft updates have been historically gigantic anyways. Look at what they do for the Xbox. What is this going to do for people, you know, like my friends who have a very limited, very narrow bandwidth? Basically, they can do a little bit of web searching, no video, and email.
Yeah.
Microsoft doesn't say anything.
If... our cities could set up their own bandwidth, then we wouldn't really have this problem. But and that's...
Matter of fact, we talk about that in a later, in an earlier episode. You got to check that out. That was a pretty good conversation.
And it looks like we're coming up on another break pretty soon here. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the 5th of November. Stick around.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Remember the 5th of November. November 5th, 1999, in fact. So that was Burn All Gifts Day. So some of you may be sitting around going, no, it's GIF, or no, it's GIF. You say GIF, I say GIF.
Let's just call the whole thing off.
Yeah. So, I don't understand why that's such a big war.
So you might be a little too young to remember this. When the web, I remember when I first got access to the internet, everybody's personal website had a ton of moving GIFs. It kind of looked like a rotoscoped acid flashback on how many people had, welcome here, under construction. It'd be a little guy digging. I even had in one of my websites this giant thing that said welcome, and it took like an extra second or two to load to the website.
I remember there was a website where you could like watch trailers, but because like H.264 wasn't a thing yet, and like video compression wasn't really a thing yet, if you wanted to watch a video, it had to be like on a tiny little itty-bitty box. But a lot of times they'd have GIF trailers where it just show you like a little GIF of what the movie was going to have in it. You know, I remember that. So So had you visited the home page on that Friday, you would have seen the movement's game plan laid out. So, and I quote, on Burn All GIF Day, all GIF users will gather at Unicity and burn their GIF files, alongside the selection of all kinds of anti-GIF PNG imagery. I think that this was a joke. Like, I don't think that that was serious.
So instead of burning GIFs, can I just add a bunch of, like, Kiss disco albums? I mean, I don't quite get the point of burning GIFs.
One of the other things that was said was another quote, extinguish all GIFs before leaving the vicinity. So I guess a lot of people were mad about how many GIFs were on the internet. And, you know, it's kind of interesting relating this back to today. You know, for a while, when I was a kid, you didn't really see GIFs all that often. Like, GIFs had kind of been extinguished to a certain extent at a certain point. Like, once we were able to get Flash Video and H.264, there was really no reason to have GIFs anymore. And then Tumblr kind of sent it back into fruition.
So this is what I've noticed. There was Web 1.0 when the GIF was all over the place, and then it slowly died. Then GIF came back in MySpace, and then the GIF went to Tumblr.
So yeah, it became popular again, I guess, with hipster communities, and now it's just all over the place again. Like, I mean, we've got little apps on your phone, Giphy and Disney GIFs and all of these things. Like, Facebook has a little thing where, like, you just hit the GIF button, you type in what you want to find, you find a GIF of what you want, and then you go put it on there.
See, now, though, I think at least the GIF at least comes into fruition of actually being useful. Before, it was literally just, at least what I remember, little animated annoyances.
Well, right now, a lot of people use it for sarcasm. Like,
pretty much.
If someone puts something that, you know, I think is dumb, like, I'll put a little GIF of somebody slapping their head, or, you know, like, you know, I don't know if you've seen all the bruh memes.
I know what you're talking about, but no.
Yeah, no, there's the bruh memes, and it's usually like a guy like kind of like passing out.
See,
and you'll get GIFs of that.
I'm behind the times. I still post like short YouTube clips.
Gotcha. So,
wow, I just got dissed.
What was it? So the GIF only offers a palette of 256 colors. Its animation capabilities are very flipbook-like. And I guess there were threats of litigation from parent companies and parent holders, which had been looming over GIF users for years before, you know, the fiery call to action of burn the GIF day. So, yeah, armed with PNGs, with pitchforks and torches. You know,
and axe handles.
Here's a shout out to GIFs because it's been, what, 17 years since, you know, the 5th of November when they tried to burn all GIFs, and GIFs aren't dead. They're ruling the web.
Hashtag free GIFs. Well, they're everywhere, and they don't annoy me as much as they used to, mainly just because I have better selective web surfing habits.
Right. Well, like, and, you know, I didn't realize, I guess maybe there are still some people that hate GIFs, but I find like most people find them enjoyable now.
I think now that the internet speeds in most areas are capable of actually fast loading them, I think they're fine. The problem is, you know, there's this cool website, I want to go to it, but I've been waiting a minute and a half to load it because this person decided to, you know,
have a bunch of GIFs on there.
Yeah, that's the only thing I always thought was kind of annoying.
You know, it kind of reminds me of, we had a conversation in the past about Flash, right? And how Flash just
and Shockwave
refusing to go away. Like, they're trying to get rid of it. They're trying not to support it anymore, but it's still a thing and it still exists. And
well, I know Chrome's not supporting it anymore, and there's a couple other things. The only issue really is there's still a lot of businesses. Now, businesses like banks and other things won't get rid of something because it works. Heck, there's still banks that still require to use IE6.
Yeah, you mentioned that in a previous episode. It is surprising how, you know, how people just don't want to get rid of what's from the past. And though GIFs have kind of repurposed themselves, I do remember having problems loading pages because of them back in the day.
I would say for businesses, it's not that they don't want to get rid of older stuff. It's a fact, if it ain't broke, no, don't fix it. Now, for consumers, on the other hand, is a completely different story. I think for some people, it's the fact it's retro, it's what they enjoy. I still think now that GIFs actually don't look horrible, they're more useful. I mean, I love the... On Facebook, there's constantly like cats doing something, you know, like a cat being pushed into the pool and watching its face. And
it's funny to also watch people try to make GIFs because it's not an easy thing to do. Have you ever made a GIF before?
It's been a long time and it was just a bouncing ball.
Yeah, no, I've done GIFs with
like live action.
Yeah, you can do them with Photoshop. It's not super hard, but it's a little tricky.
Never done it with Photoshop.
So you can make GIFs with Photoshop. And it's funny to watch people try to build them because, like, usually they'll just end up with a single picture and it won't do anything, you know? Like, and so, like, I've also seen people do stupid things like save their pictures as GIFs when you should really be using... PNG is probably the best, but you can use JPEG or TIFF or, you know...
So I usually use PNG or JPEG, just depending on what it is.
And JPEG are the best for the web.
Usually PNG because of I want the transparency in the background.
Yes.
Like if I'm making a logo for a website, for example, I want a transparent background because whatever the background color the customer chooses, for example,
right,
is up to them and it won't look ugly. You know, it's better than having to match something.
I've seen people use GIFs for that because GIFs have the transparency feature like a PNG does, but the PNG is like far superior.
Yeah, more colors built in.
You see a lot of people sometimes will build a GIF for their little website, and not even for animations, just for like a static picture. And I'm like, you realize you could use a PNG, right? It'll load faster, and it has, you know, more colors. PNGs are superior. It's just GIFs are fun.
Now, the conversation's going to go a little bit full circle. Microsoft is on a buying spree of machine intelligence startups. It continues, Microsoft announcing Monday that it's acquired automated calendar service Genie, G-E-N-E-E, never heard of them. Genie, which launched in 2014, uses artificial intelligence to help automated schedule meetings based on participants' schedules. Microsoft plans to shut down Jean's existing service on September 1st, and it was vague on just how the technology would be incorporated into Office and Office 365. This through scheduled meetings seems a natural fit for Outlook. The move is at least the third time this month that a big-name tech company has bought an AI startup. Now, I'm not completely surprised by this. This particular one seems like a really good fit, especially for their, like, Office 365, which is their paid-for subscription. I think for their online services, this is, I could see this going well. I don't see how anybody would use this. I don't quite understand the point of it, because I've always just said, hey, Bob, meeting at 3 o'clock on Thursday. Bob agrees. I see Bob on Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Well, it might have something to do with, because you said it was in Office 365. It could be something to do with, like, spell check and grammar. Maybe it detects that you make the same mistake over and over and keeps changing it.
But this,
something.
But this says it's for the calendar, and they're saying it will be incorporated in Office and Office 365.
How does this work for the calendar? I don't understand.
Well, because it says so my assumption what it was. So Bob and I are both using, you know, the calendars, and I'm assuming what it does is it'll somehow say, okay, you guys are going to have a meeting soon at 3 o'clock on Thursday. It's the only thing I could think of. Now, granted, I've never heard of this startup, but
yeah, me neither.
I don't.
And I follow AI news fairly closely.
Now, it says it helps automatically schedule meetings based on participant schedules. But the only thing, if you have a recurring meeting, that's a setting within Outlook itself. So maybe it learns, you know, say Bob, for example, has to skip a meeting because his kid's soccer game. So will it say, okay, once a month, Bob can't go because of his kid's soccer game?
Huh.
You know, it's the only thing I could think of, or maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely learning feature built in, but I don't completely understand it. I do think it would be cool if it did what I said, you know, say Bob's kid has a soccer game on the first Tuesday of every month and it's a weekly meeting. You know, and it says, you go, oh, cancel meeting because of this. Maybe it's something recurs. Maybe it will learn eventually. And then kind of, you don't really have to mess the schedule after a while because it knows kind of the routine of things, maybe. It's something that definitely we're going to have to keep an eye out.
Yeah, but like, it feels less useful than even Tay.
Tay was entertaining. I'm not quite sure what the point of this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do myself and Shay a favor. I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com, click on the technology description, and subscribe. You can find us everywhere on the interwebs. The other thing I want you to do is I want you to go to facebook.com, go to the search bar, type in GSMC Technology Podcast. This is episode 26. That's a big 26. I want you to comment on that, and we do check it regularly. And if you have any questions, comments, or you have a story that you're just dying to get our spin on, we want you to share the link, and we will talk about it. And ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney
and Shay Northrup,
thank you for listening.